you believe in magic? Oh, good. Then you're exactly the customer the $30 billion U.S. vitamin and supplement industry is looking for, because their product development and marketing efforts, especially in the United States, has been made quite easy by the FDA's, that's the Federal Drug Administration's, hands-off attitude, which you can read about in Living Black and White on every supplement label, which I imagine our next guest knows by heart. He is physician and author Dr. Paul Offit, chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases and director of the Vaccine Education Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the author of the book that kept me awake all night long last night, Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. Dr. Offit, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you.
You must have a special place in your physician's, skeptic's heart for supplements. Why is that?
I think what happened to me in this is that I had surgery on my left knee. It was microfracture surgery. The recovery was fairly long. And my orthopedist, right, a standard physician, said to me, you'll do better if you take chondroitin sulfate and glucosamine. That surprised me. Certainly never learned about it in medical school. He told me it would decrease inflammation, whereas those two substances shouldn't do anything to inflammation.
You won't believe this, and we didn't plan this, but I have in my hand a bottle of glucosamine, chondroitin plus MSM, whatever the hell that is. Oh, with manganese and vitamin C, and it supports joint health. And there's a little star after the word health. And you go to the back of the bottle and it says, these supplements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Dr. Offit, how would you translate that?
That's what happens when an industry is unregulated. In other words, the company that makes that doesn't have to, in any sense, show that that product is safe. It doesn't have to show that it's effective before they put it on the market and say the wink and nod, this supports joint health, because in fact, it doesn't do any such thing. I mean, there actually are a couple studies done by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, excellent prospective controlled studies showing that it does nothing to relieve the pain of arthritis associated with this, the kind of surgery I had. So It was wrong.
Now, in other words, the FDA has no idea what's in the bottle, and if they do anything, they'll only get involved when people get sick or die from ingesting the contents, and then it's sort of an uh-oh moment. Is that fairly accurate?
Right, and it has to be massive. It's you're absolutely right. It's reactive only, and it would have to be a massive problem, like the ephedra problem, for example, or the kava problem when it was shown to cause liver damage. You're right. It's you know, people think that this is their right, right? It's my right to have the sort of the freedom of choice. But really what it is, it's the freedom to make an uninformed choice. And ignorance is never an advantage.
No, historically it hasn't. The manufacturer of a dietary supplement or a dietary ingredient is solely responsible, that's my word, for ensuring that the product is safe, efficacious, before it is marketed. What's really interesting, well, not efficacious, but safe, efficacious, it's not efficacious in the sense that there's no provision in here for, oh, does it work? Does it do what it's supposed to do? Because that disclaimer that I read earlier covers all of that. This sounds like the new medicine show, Dr. Offit.
Wouldn't it be nice if the money that these companies spent telling us that these products work were spent actually showing that the products worked? I think we'd be a lot better off.
How will our listeners benefit by reading Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. First of all, it's a real page-turner. It's a fascinating, well-researched story, and I'm familiar with a lot of this material, and I was really thrilled to read this. How will people benefit? What will they learn? And perhaps might they change their behavior after they read this book?
Well, hopefully they'll bring the same level of skepticism that they bring to conventional medicine to alternative medicine. I think they'll learn that megavitamins, meaning this large doses of vitamins well in excess of the recommended daily allowance, can hurt you. And I think they'll also learn that there are aspects of alternative medicine that can help you. It's how they help you that is surprising. But hopefully they'll go in with an open mind and be convinced by the data.
You know, it's funny you should mention that. Several years ago, I was listening to Dr. Deanie Dell on the radio, who's a former ophthalmologist who made a lateral move, I guess, and decided to go into the news business. And a woman called up, and it was at the time when Premarin and the other products like that were really being questioned. And she said, you know, I talked to my gynecologist today and told her I was really skeptical about Premarin. So I went over to the GNC store and got some natural products that I believe will help. And Dr. Edel went wild. He said, you're going to take the word of a 17-year-old high school student working part-time at the local GNC store over a well-trained physician, your gynecologist. He said, you're nothing but a health slut. I thought, well, that's a little heavy duty, but I understood, you know, where he was coming from, that people will discount the advice of their physician because they believe, I guess it's an act of faith, that somehow one of these dietary products will resolve the issue. Is that too extreme?
No, I think it's right. And I think this particular industry, I think when it's promoted by people like Deepak Chopra and Andrew Weil and Mehmet Oz, they imbue it with sort of a spirituality that frankly borders on mysticism that is absent, you know, this sort of cold, distant, scientific, conventional medicine. But be careful, because it's always about the data. It should never be about the man. And I think it's that sort of guru-like phenomenon that's selling these products, and it's not to our benefit.
Let's step back into history to 1993, to the creation of the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, the DSHEA, when the FDA commissioner was David Kessler. This act has been called the Utah Relief Act, among other things. How could something like this get through, especially given our history, you know, with the old medicine show and patent medicines? How could this happen?
Because money talks in politics. And as this industry got more and more lucrative and got media savvy and politically connected, they were able to take David Kessler and Henry Waxman's interest in trying to regulate an industry where people were getting bad healthcare advice in their health food stores, and that industry turned it around, passed this law that you just mentioned, which was called by the New York Times the Snake Oil Protection Act, and now basically you have an unregulated industry under no obligations to support its claims or admit its harms. The consumer's the loser.
And in that process, they enlisted a number of experts, including talk show host Jenny Jones, Whoopi Goldberg, Eddie Albert, even Mel Gibson, all went on television and beat the table and thumped the drum for your freedom to ingest what you wish in terms of these supplements, with the FDA taking a hands-off attitude. It seemed to work. If you don't believe me, watch Suzanne Summers' infomercials.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting how we do look to celebrities for healthcare advice. I'm not sure why that is. Obviously, we're far better off talking to people who have experience and expertise in the field. But you're right, it's an education act that had nothing to do with education, everything to do with the consumer not knowing what they're getting, and ignorance is never an advantage.
In reality, people will take the advice of a former Playboy bunny who posed nude between the pages of that magazine over a well-qualified medical professional, because they think that medical professional is in, and you've heard this too in your own work, is in the pocket of big pharma, the big enemy.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know who people think makes these vitamins and supplements. I mean, they're not made by elves and old hippies. They're you know, Pfizer and Huffman La Roche are major players in this game. That's big pharma. So, you know, it's just, and it's a $34 billion a year in industry. It's an industry. It's an industry whose interest is in is convincing you that these products are of value when typically they're untested, typically, and not way more often than you would think. They are not manufactured under good conditions of good manufacturing, and the label is occasionally not indicative of what's actually in the bottle. It's that bad. People assume that when they walk into that general nutrition center that the FDA is looking over the shoulder of this industry, but they're not.
We could go on like this all day, but we probably shouldn't. Our guest has been Dr. Paul Offit, Chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases and Director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He's the author of the new book, which is fabulous, Do You Believe in Magic? The Sense and Nonsense of Alternative Medicine. Dr. Offit, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language on Radio MD.
Thank you.
I'm Christopher Springman. Be well.